Linux Boot Debugging Deep Dive, Understanding System Failure Through First Principles. Introduction: When modern systems fail catastrophically. Picture this scenario. You're staring at a black screen with an initramfs prompt where your familiar Linux desktop should be. Your sophisticated workstation, complete with NVMe storage, Intel VMD firmware RAID, Lux encryption, and LVM, has been reduced to a primitive busybox shell. This isn't just inconvenient, it's a complete system failure that reveals the intricate dependencies underlying modern Linux systems. Today, we're going to dissect a real-world Linux boot failure that perfectly illustrates why understanding system architecture from first principles is crucial for any serious systems engineer. This isn't just a story about fixing a broken computer. It's a masterclass in systematic debugging, layered system architecture, and the elegant complexity that makes modern operating systems possible. We'll build our understanding from the ground up, starting with the fundamental concepts of how Linux boots, then dive deep into the specific failure cascade that brought down this system. Along the way, we'll develop a robust mental framework for debugging any Linux boot issue, regardless of its complexity. The fundamental architecture. Linux boot as layered capability discovery, rethinking the boot process. Most people think of Linux boot as a linear sequence. Firmware loads bootloader, bootloader loads kernel, kernel starts user space. This mental model is dangerously incomplete. The reality is far more sophisticated and, once understood, far more powerful for debugging. Linux boot is better conceptualized as a layered capability discovery system. Each layer must successfully establish its capabilities before the next layer can even begin to function. This isn't just academic distinction, it's the key insight that makes systematic debugging possible. Let's build this model layer by layer. Layer 1, firmware foundation. The firmware, whether legacy BIOS or modern UEFI, establishes the most basic hardware capabilities. It discovers memory, initializes critical hardware, and provides the fundamental abstraction layer that everything else builds upon. The firmware's job is to create a minimal but sufficient environment for the next layer. Layer 2, bootloader, intelligence. Grub isn't just a program launcher. It's an intelligent system discovery engine. It understands file systems, can load files from various sources, and critically, it passes configuration parameters to the kernel. When Grub executes, it's making decisions about what the kernel needs to know about the system's intended configuration. Layer 3, kernel initialization. The kernel's role is often misunderstood. Many people think the kernel runs the system, but that's not quite right. The kernel's job is to provide abstractions. It turns hardware into a coherent set of interfaces that user space can use. Crucially, the kernel alone cannot mount your root file system or start your applications. It establishes capabilities, not complete functionality. Layer 4, early user space, initramfs. Here's where the elegance of modern Linux architecture becomes apparent. The kernel hands control to initramfs, a complete miniature Linux system whose entire purpose is to bridge the gap between kernel capabilities and the real root file system. Think of initramfs as a tiny Linux whose only job is to find the real Linux. This handoff is brilliant system design. The kernel is great at hardware abstraction, but terrible at complex policy decisions. Should we try to decrypt this Lux volume? Should we wait for this network interface to come up? Should we load additional drivers based on discovered hardware? These are user space problems, and initramfs solves them with the full power of user space tools. Layer 5, root file system transition. Once initramfs successfully discovers and prepares the root file system, it performs one of the most elegant operations in computer science. It dissolves itself and hands control to the real system. This switch root operation is like a magician's vanishing act. The temporary system that made everything possible simply disappears. Layer 6, system management, system D. Finally, the real system takes over, with system D orchestrating the complex dance of services, dependencies, and system state that we recognize as a running Linux system. The critical insight: failure propagates upward. Understanding this layered architecture reveals why boot debugging can be so systematic. If layer N fails, layers N plus 1 through 6 simply cannot exist. This gives us a powerful debugging heuristic. Identify which layer you're in, and you've immediately narrowed your problem space dramatically. When you see an MFS prompt, you know immediately, firmware worked, you got this far, bootloader worked, kernel was loaded, kernel worked, initramfs started, initramfs failed, you're in emergency mode. This single observation eliminates probably 80% of potential Linux boot failure causes. You're not dealing with bootloader configuration, kernel compilation issues, or firmware problems. You're dealing with initramfs capability gaps. The storage complexity, understanding modern storage abstractions, the four-layer problem. Our specific failure involved a storage stack that beautifully illustrates the complexity of modern systems. Let's understand each layer and why they're all necessary. Physical layer, NVMe storage. NVMe represents a fundamental evolution in storage technology. Unlike legacy SATA, NVMe devices connect directly to PCIe lanes, providing massive bandwidth and low latency. But NVMe also brings complexity. These devices can present multiple namespaces, support advanced features like volatile write caches, and integrate with system firmware in sophisticated ways. Firmware abstraction, Intel VMD. Intel Volume Management Device, VMD, is a fascinating piece of technology that represents the modern trend toward firmware-managed hardware abstraction. VMD essentially allows the system firmware to present storage devices through a standardized interface while hiding the complexity of the underlying hardware configuration. Here's the crucial insight. With VMD enabled, your NVMe device doesn't appear as Dev NVMe N1. Instead, the VMD firmware creates a virtualization layer, and the actual storage appears through VMD-managed device nodes. This abstraction enables features like firmware-based RAID, hot swap capabilities, and standardized management interfaces. But abstraction comes at a cost. Dependency. Without proper VMD driver support in the kernel, your NVMe device is completely invisible to the operating system. It's not that the device is broken, it's that the kernel lacks the capability to see through the firmware abstraction layer. Encryption layer, Lux Linux Unified Key Setup, Lux, provides block-level encryption, but it's important to understand what this means architecturally. Lux doesn't encrypt files. It encrypts entire block devices. When properly configured, the encrypted device appears as a different device node, typically /dev/mapper/something, that transparently decrypts data as it's read and encrypts data as it's written. This transparency is both elegant and dangerous for debugging. When Lux is working, you never think about it. When it fails, it can be completely mystifying because the failure often manifests as device not found rather than decryption failed. Volume management. LVM logical volume management adds another abstraction layer, allowing you to create logical volumes that span multiple physical devices, can be resized dynamically, and support advanced features like snapshots. Like Lux, LVM creates its own device nodes, /dev/mapper/VG, that abstract away the underlying complexity. The cascade effect. Here's what makes this storage stack particularly interesting for debugging. It's a perfect dependency chain. Each layer depends absolutely on the layer below it. LVM needs to see the Lux device, Lux needs to see the VMD-managed device, VMD needs proper kernel driver support, NVMe needs basic hardware recognition. If any layer fails, everything above it becomes impossible. This creates what we might call a cascade failure. A single missing capability, in our case, the VMD.ko kernel module, causes the entire stack to disappear. The failure analysis, a perfect debugging case study. The initial symptom. The system presented with what appeared to be a fairly common Linux boot failure, dropping into initramfs emergency mode with a busybox shell. The error messages suggested that the Lux encrypted root device couldn't be found. This is where many debugging sessions go wrong, focusing on the apparent error rather than the underlying cause. The systematic approach. The debugging methodology that solved this problem demonstrates the power of systematic thinking. Instead of immediately focusing on Lux configuration or encryption keys, the debugging process started with fundamental questions. Question 1. What layer am I in? The initramfs prompt immediately indicated that this was an initramfs failure, not a bootloader, kernel, or later user space problem. This single observation focused the debugging effort on early user space capabilities. Question 2. What should exist but doesn't? Instead of assuming the problem was with Lux decryption, the debugging focused on device enumeration. The command ls dev nvme revealed the critical insight. no NVMe devices existed at all. This is profound debugging wisdom. When you see can't find encrypted device, the temptation is to debug encryption, but the systematic approach asks, is the underlying device even visible? When /NVMe0-1 doesn't exist, debugging Lux is pointless. Question 3, why doesn't the device exist? This led to investigating the kernel's capability to recognize NVMe devices. The discovery process revealed that while the kernel had generic NVMe support, it lacked VMD support. This is where understanding the storage abstraction stack became crucial. Question 4, what capability is missing? The command lsinitermfs grep/vmd revealed that the vmd.co module wasn't present in the initermfs. Combined with zgrep/config/vmd showing config/vmd/fig/m, this pointed to a missing kernel module issue. The root cause, incomplete kernel installation. The actual problem was beautifully simple. The kernel was configured to support vmd as a module, config store vmd equals m, but the module didn't exist on the system because the Linux module's extra package wasn't installed. This reveals something important about modern Linux distributions. The kernel isn't a monolithic entity. It's a composed system made up of multiple packages. Linux image provides the core kernel. Linux modules provides common drivers. Linux modules extra provides specialized drivers for RAID controllers, exotic file systems, and hardware like VMD. This packaging strategy makes sense for distribution management, but creates potential failure modes. You can have a perfectly bootable kernel that's functionally useless because critical drivers are missing. The cascade analysis. Once we understand the root cause, the failure cascade becomes clear. 1. Missing Linux modules extra package, VMDKO, doesn't exist. 2. No vm.ko, VMD devices aren't enumerated. 3. No VMD enumeration, NVMe device invisible to kernel. 4. No NVMe device, no /dev/nvm1. 5. No dev/dem1, Lux can't find device to decrypt. 6. Lux's failure, initramfs drops to emergency shell. The actual problem was in step 1, but the visible symptom was in step 5. This is why systematic debugging is so powerful. It helps you trace the dependency chain back to the actual cause. Deep dive, how Intel VMD actually works. The firmware abstraction challenge. To truly understand this failure, we need to dive deep into how Intel VMD technology actually works. VMD represents a fascinating approach to the fundamental tension in modern system design. How do you provide advanced storage features while maintaining compatibility with existing software stacks? Traditional NVMe devices connect directly to PCIe lanes and enumerate as standard PCIe devices. The kernel's NVMe driver can discover them through standard PCIe enumeration, and they appear as /dev/nvme0n1, /dev/nvme1n1, etc. This is straightforward but limited. You can't do firmware-level RAID, advanced power management, or standardized management without significantly complicating the kernel driver. VMD solves this by introducing a firmware abstraction layer. Instead of the NVMe device appearing directly on the PCIe bus, the VMD hardware presents itself as a PCIe device. The actual NVMe devices are connected behind the VMD controller and are managed by firmware running on the VMD hardware. From the kernel's perspective, this is both elegant and problematic. It's elegant because the kernel only needs to understand the VMD abstraction, not the complexity of what's behind it. It's problematic because without VMD support, the NVMe devices are completely invisible. They exist physically, but they're hidden behind the VMD abstraction layer. The kernel driver requirements. This is why the vmd.co kernel module is absolutely critical. The VMD driver's job is to 1. Recognize VMD hardware during PCIe enumeration. 2. Initialize communication with the VMD firmware. 3. Discover what storage devices are managed by VMD. 4. Create appropriate device nodes for the managed devices. 5. Route storage I/O through the VMD abstraction layer. Without this driver, the kernel sees the VMD controller as an unknown PCIe device and ignores it. The NVMe devices behind it remain completely invisible. The VMD force 1 parameter. The kernel parameter VMD force equals 1 that was added during debugging reveals another layer of complexity. VMD drivers typically validate that the system firmware properly describes the VMD configuration through ACPI tables. If the firmware description is incomplete or doesn't match what the driver expects, the VMD driver may refuse to bind to the hardware. The force equals 1 parameter overrides these safety checks, essentially telling the VMD driver, "I know the firmware description might be wrong, but try to initialize VMD anyway." This is sometimes necessary on systems where the firmware isn't perfectly compliant with VMD specifications or where the Linux driver is more conservative than necessary. This parameter highlights an important debugging principle. Sometimes the hardware is fine and the driver is fine, but the safety logic is too restrictive for the specific hardware configuration. Deep dive. InitramFS, architecture and the root transition, the elegant solution to an impossible problem. The InitramFS system is one of the most elegant solutions in operating system design, and understanding its architecture is crucial for any serious Linux debugging. The problem it solves is fundamental. How do you boot a system when the kernel needs drivers and tools that are stored on a file system that the kernel can't access without those same drivers and tools? This is a classic bootstrapping problem. The kernel needs file system drivers to mount the root file system, but the file system drivers might be stored as modules on the root file system. The kernel needs network drivers to mount an NFS root, but the network configuration tools are on the root file system. It's circular dependencies all the way down. InitramFS solves this by embedding a complete miniature Linux system inside the kernel image itself. When the kernel starts, it extracts this embedded file system into a temporary RAM-based file system and hands control to it. This temporary system has all the drivers, tools, and logic needed to discover and mount the real root file system. The construction process. Understanding how InitFS is built reveals why certain failures occur. The update InitFS command doesn't just copy files randomly, it performs intelligent dependency analysis. 1. Kernel module analysis. It examines the running kernel configuration and includes modules that might be needed for boot 2. Hardware detection. It includes drivers for hardware that's currently present in the system. 3. File system support. It includes tools for any file systems mentioned in /fsdab. 4. Encryption support. It includes Lux tools if encrypted devices are configured. 5. Network support. It includes network drivers and tools if network-based root is configured. The critical insight is that InitramFS construction is dynamic and context-dependent. The same kernel version might produce different InitramFS images on different systems based on their hardware and configuration. The discovery and mounting process. Once InitramFS starts executing, it follows a sophisticated discovery process. Hardware enumeration. Using UDEV, InitramFS triggers kernel module loading based on discovered hardware. This is where our VMD problem manifested. Without VMD.co, the VMD hardware was discovered, but no driver was loaded. Device settlement. Modern hardware discovery is asynchronous. Devices don't appear instantly when drivers load. There's a complex negotiation process. InitramFS includes logic to wait for critical devices to appear before proceeding. Encryption handling. For Lux encrypted devices, InitramFS prompts for passphrases, loads decryption keys, and sets up device mapper targets. This only works if the underlying block device exists. Volume management. LVM discovery and activation happens after encryption, building the logical device topology that the root file system mount will use. Root mounting. Finally, InitramFS attempts to mount the root file system using all the infrastructure it has built up. The switch root operation. The transition from InitramFS to the real root file system is architecturally fascinating. The switch root operation essentially performs an atomic replacement of the entire file system namespace. The InitramFS file system becomes invisible, and the real root file system takes its place as slash. This operation requires careful coordination. All processes running in InitramFS must terminate cleanly, all temporary file systems must be unmounted, and the kernel must update its internal file system references. It's like changing the foundation of a building while people are still living in it. Systematic debugging methodology, a universal framework, the five-step process. The debugging approach that solved this VMD issue demonstrates a systematic methodology that applies to virtually any Linux boot failure. Step 1. Layer identification. The first question should always be, which layer of the boot process am I in? The prompt, available commands, and visible file system structure immediately tell you whether you're dealing with firmware, bootloader, kernel, InitramFS, or user space issues. This step is crucial because it sets the scope for everything that follows. If you're in initramfs, you know the kernel worked, so you don't waste time debugging kernel configuration. If systemd is running, you know device discovery worked, so you focus on service level issues. Step 2, existence verification. Before debugging why something doesn't work, verify that it exists. This sounds obvious, but it's violated constantly. People debug Lux decryption when the encrypted device doesn't exist. They debug network mounting when network interfaces aren't up. They debug service failures when the service binary isn't installed. The debugging commands used in our case study exemplify this principle. LSDev NVMe, does the device exist? LSinitramfs, grep VMD, is the driver included? Find lib/modules, uname-r, name VMD, co, does the module file exist? Step 3, activation confirmation. Existence doesn't guarantee activation. A kernel module can exist on disk without being loaded. A service can be installed without being enabled. A device can exist without being bound to a driver. This step requires understanding the difference between potential and actual capability. The system might have everything it needs, but fail to use it due to configuration, timing, or dependency issues. Step 4, dependency tracing. Modern systems are composed of dependency graphs, not linear sequences. When something fails, trace its dependencies backward until you find the actual failure point. Our VMD case study demonstrates this perfectly. The visible error was Lux device not found, but the actual failure was VMD driver not loaded. Tracing the dependencies revealed that Lux depends on device existence depends on driver loading, and driver loading depends on module availability. Step 5, configuration analysis. Only after verifying existence, activation, and dependencies should you focus on configuration. Most Linux boot failures are missing capabilities, not misconfigured capabilities. This order is important because configuration debugging is complex and time-consuming. By eliminating capability issues first, you avoid spending hours analyzing configuration files for problems that don't exist. Common anti-patterns in Linux debugging. Understanding what not to do is as important as understanding correct methodology. Anti-pattern 1, symptom fixation. Focusing on the visible error instead of the underlying cause. Lux device not found doesn't mean Lux is broken. It might mean the underlying device doesn't exist. Anti-pattern 2, configuration. First, immediately diving into configuration files without verifying that the underlying capabilities exist. You can't configure what isn't installed. Anti-pattern 3, layer confusion. Trying to solve initramfs problems with systemd tools or kernel problems with user space configuration. Each layer has its own failure modes and debugging approaches. Anti-pattern 4, single cause assumption. Assuming there's only one problem. Complex systems can have multiple simultaneous failures, especially after interrupted updates or partial installations. Deep dive, kernel module management and packaging. The modular kernel architecture. Modern Linux kernels are fundamentally modular systems, not monolithic programs. This modularity provides enormous flexibility, but creates complex dependency and packaging challenges that directly contributed to our VMD failure. The kernel configuration system allows three states for most drivers. Config driver eats N, not included at all. Config driver Y, built into the kernel image. Config driver M, compiled as a loadable module. Each approach has trade-offs. Built-in drivers, Y, are always available, but increase kernel memory usage and make the kernel image larger. Modular drivers save memory and allow dynamic loading, but create dependency and packaging complexity. The config VMD configuration that caused our failure represents a reasonable design choice. VMD hardware is specialized enough that most systems don't need it, so making it modular saves memory. But this choice creates a dependency. The kernel expects the module to exist when VMD hardware is detected. Distribution packaging strategies. Different Linux distributions handle kernel module packaging differently, and understanding these strategies is crucial for debugging. Ubuntu's three-package approach. Linux image, core kernel and essential built-in drivers. Linux modules, common modular drivers needed by most systems. Linux modules extra, specialized drivers for unusual hardware. This approach minimizes the base installation size while providing comprehensive hardware support through additional packages. The trade-off is complexity. it's possible to have an incomplete kernel installation that boots but lacks critical capabilities. Red Hat's approach. Red Hat distributions typically include more modules in the base kernel package, reducing the chance of missing driver issues, but increasing the base installation size. Arch Linux's philosophy. Arch tends toward minimal base installations with explicit dependency management, requiring users to understand what modules their hardware needs. The DKMS Complication Dynamic Kernel Module Support, DKMS, adds another layer of complexity to kernel module management. DKMS automatically rebuilds out-of-tree kernel modules, like NVIDIA drivers, when new kernels are installed. In our case study, NVIDIA DKMS issues mask the underlying problem. When kernel packages were being updated, DKMS failures interrupted the post-installation hooks that would normally trigger update in ITRAMFS. This left the system in a partially updated state where the new kernel was installed, but the initramfs still contained modules from the old kernel. This highlights an important principle. Complex systems can have multiple simultaneous failures. The NVIDIA issue didn't cause the VMD problem, but it prevented the normal repair mechanisms from working. Module loading decision process. Understanding how the kernel decides which modules to load reveals why our debugging approach was effective. The process involves several components. Hardware discovery. The kernel enumerates PCIe devices, USB devices, and other hardware, creating a database of what's physically present. Module matching. For each discovered device, the kernel consults module alias tables to determine which kernel modules might support that hardware. Dependency resolution. Before loading a module, the kernel ensures that all its dependencies are satisfied. Loading and binding. The kernel loads the module code and attempts to bind it to the appropriate hardware. In our VMD case, steps 1 and 2 worked correctly. The system discovered VMD hardware and identified that VMDO should be loaded. Step 3 failed because VMDO didn't exist, preventing step 4 from ever occurring. Deep dive: storage stack debugging for complex configurations. The dependency graph approach. Complex storage configurations like our NVMe plus VMD plus Lux plus LVM stack require a graph-based debugging approach rather than linear troubleshooting. Each component depends on specific capabilities from lower layers, and failures can cascade in non-obvious ways. The key insight is to think of storage configuration as a directed acyclic graph, where each node represents a capability and each edge represents a dependency. When debugging, you need to trace backward from the failure point until you find the actual broken dependency. Level 0, hardware visibility. The foundational capability is hardware discovery. Can the kernel see the storage hardware at all? This requires appropriate drivers and proper hardware enumeration. Commands for this level: LSPSI. What PCIe devices exist? LSDevDiskByID. What storage devices has the kernel discovered? DMESG, grep I storage. What do the kernel logs say about storage discovery? Level 1, block device creation. Once hardware is visible, the kernel must create block devices that higher layers can use. This involves driver binding and device initialization. Commands for this level: ls/dev NVMe or ls/devsd. Do block devices exist? Lsmod grep NVMe, are storage drivers loaded? UDevDM info 0n1. What does UDEV know about this device? Level 2, encryption layer. If encryption is configured, this layer must successfully map encrypted devices to decrypted block devices. Commands for this level: crypt setup status, are encrypted devices active? LSDev mapper, do decrypted devices exist? Crypt setup lux UUID 0n1, does the encryption metadata look correct? Level 3, volume management. LVM or other volume management systems create logical devices from physical or encrypted devices. Commands for this level: LVS, what logical volumes exist? VGS, what volume groups are active? PVS, what physical volumes are recognized? Level 4, file system. Finally, file systems are mounted on the logical devices created by the lower layers. Debugging strategy for each level. The systematic approach requires verifying each level before moving to the next. Hardware. Level debugging. If no storage hardware is visible, focus on driver issues, hardware conflicts, or firmware problems. Don't waste time on encryption or file system issues if the hardware layer isn't working. Block device level debugging. If hardware is visible but block devices don't exist, focus on driver binding, module loading, or hardware initialization issues. Encryption-level debugging. If block devices exist but encrypted mapping fails, focus on Lux keys, encryption metadata, or crypt setup configuration. Volume management level debugging. If encryption works but logical volumes don't appear, focus on LVM metadata, volume group activation, or physical volume recognition. File system level debugging. Only when all lower layers work should you debug file system mounting, corruption, or configuration issues. Common complex configuration gotchas. Timing dependencies. Modern storage discovery is asynchronous. Hardware detection, driver loading, device enumeration, and service startup all happen in parallel. Timing-dependent failures can be intermittent and difficult to reproduce. UUID stability. Complex storage stacks often rely on UUIDs for device identification, but UUIDs can change when hardware configuration changes, encryption is reconfigured, or volume management is modified. InitDramFS versus full system. Storage configuration that works in the full system might fail in InitDramFS due to missing tools, different UDEV rules, or simplified device discovery logic. Firmware versus kernel. Modern storage hardware increasingly relies on firmware-kernel cooperation. VMD is one example, but RAID controllers, NVMe features, and power management all involve complex firmware interactions. Recovery strategies, remote and emergency techniques. The remote access challenge. One of the most challenging aspects of Linux boot debugging is handling failures when you don't have physical access to the machine. Our case study involved a local system, but these techniques scale to remote systems. Serial console access. For remote systems, serial console access is invaluable. Many cloud providers and enterprise systems support serial console connections that work even when the network stack is non-functional. Network-based recovery. If the InitDramFS includes network drivers and you can get networking up manually, you can sometimes bootstrap a remote recovery session. This requires understanding how to configure networking from the InitDramFS environment. Rescue boot options. Most Linux distributions provide rescue boot modes that start a minimal system designed for recovery operations. These can often succeed even when the normal boot process fails. Emergency techniques from InitDramFS. The BusyBox environment in InitDramFS provides a surprisingly capable debugging platform. Information gathering. Kernel messages often reveal hardware issues. LSMod, what modules are loaded? Mount, what file systems are available? PS, what processes are running? Manual module loading. If you can identify missing modules, you can often load them manually. Modprobe driver name, load a specific driver. insmodpath2module.ko, load a module by path. Manual device setup. Sometimes you can manually create the device mappings that automated tools failed to create. Crypt setup luxopen/dev/nvme-1/root. Manually decrypt a Lux device. VG change A. Activate LVM volume groups. File system repair. Basic file system repair tools are often available in InitDramFS dev/mapper/root. Check and repair file system. Recovery boot options. Understanding bootloader recovery options is crucial for systems that won't boot normally. Single user mode. Adding single or one to kernel parameters boots to a minimal single user environment, bypassing most of the normal startup process. Systemd emergency mode. Modern systemd-based systems support emergency mode with systemd, unit equals emergency.target, which provides root access without mounting most file systems. Rescue kernels. Many distributions install rescue kernels alongside normal kernels. These are typically older, more conservative kernel versions with broader hardware support. Live boot media. When all else fails, booting from external media, USB drives, network boot, etc., provides access to the system's storage from a known good environment. Lessons and broader implications. The elegance of layered architecture. This debugging case study reveals the elegant sophistication of modern Linux systems. The boot process isn't a simple sequence. It's a carefully orchestrated dance of capability discovery and dependency resolution. Each layer builds upon the foundations provided by the layers below it, creating a robust and flexible system. The failure mode we examined, missing VMD driver support, demonstrates both the strength and weakness of this architecture. The strength is modularity. Systems can be configured precisely for their hardware and use cases. The weakness is complexity. The interdependencies can create subtle failure modes that are difficult to diagnose. The importance of mental models. effective debugging requires accurate mental models of how systems work. The common mental model of Linux boot as a simple sequence, firmware, bootloader, kernel, user space, is insufficient for serious debugging. The more accurate model of layered capability discovery provides a framework for systematic problem solving. Similarly, the mental model of storage as simple block devices is insufficient for modern systems. Understanding storage as a stack of abstraction layers, hardware, firmware abstraction, encryption, volume management, and file system provides the conceptual framework needed to debug complex failures. The value of systematic methodology. The debugging approach that solved this problem demonstrates the power of systematic thinking over intuitive troubleshooting. Instead of following hunches or focusing on the most obvious symptoms, the systematic approach builds understanding methodically. This methodology generalizes beyond Linux boot debugging. Any complex system can be understood as a collection of layers and dependencies. When failures occur, systematic analysis of layer capabilities and dependency satisfaction provides a reliable path to root cause identification. The modern challenge: composed systems. Our VMD failure illustrates a broader trend in modern computing. Systems are increasingly composed of multiple packages, services, and abstraction layers rather than being monolithic entities. This composition provides enormous flexibility and capability, but it also creates new classes of failure modes. The challenge for systems engineers is developing the skills and mental frameworks needed to understand and debug composed systems. This requires moving beyond simple cause and effect thinking to understanding dependency graphs, abstraction layers, and emergent behavior. Conclusion: building debugging intuition. The Linux boot failure we've analyzed represents more than just a technical problem. It's a window into the elegant complexity that makes modern computing possible. By understanding this failure from first principles, we've built mental models that apply to debugging any complex system. The key insights we've developed: systems are layered capabilities, not linear sequences. Each layer must establish its capabilities before higher layers can function. Understanding which layer you're debugging immediately focuses your effort and eliminates large classes of potential problems. Failure cascades upward through dependency graphs. The visible symptom is rarely the actual cause. Systematic debugging requires tracing dependencies backward until you find the actual broken capability. Existence, activation, and configuration are different problems. Most debugging failures come from assuming these are equivalent. Verifying existence before debugging activation and verifying activation before debugging configuration eliminates enormous amounts of wasted effort. Complex systems can have multiple simultaneous failures. The NVIDIA DKMS issues in our case study didn't cause the VMD problem, but they prevented normal repair mechanisms from working. Debugging complex systems requires considering interaction effects between different subsystems. Mental models determine debugging effectiveness. Accurate conceptual understanding of how systems work is more valuable than memorizing specific commands or procedures. The right mental model makes problems obvious. The wrong mental model makes even simple problems mystifying. The debugging methodology we've explored, layer identification, existence verification, activation confirmation, dependency tracing, and configuration analysis, provides a framework that applies far beyond Linux boot debugging. Anytime you're dealing with a complex system that isn't working as expected, these principles provide a systematic path toward understanding and resolution. Perhaps most importantly, this case study demonstrates that complex system failures, while initially intimidating, become approachable when you have the right conceptual tools. The same system that seemed completely broken when displaying a cryptic DFS prompt became perfectly understandable once we developed accurate mental models of how Linux boot architecture actually works. This is the essence of systems engineering: building the conceptual frameworks that make complex systems comprehensible, debuggable, and ultimately reliable.